Lynn, thank you for joining me on In Business.
Thanks very much. How are you?
So Lynn, to begin, tell us a small bit about the 2025 annual leave report and who is surveyed as part of it.
So yeah, at FRS Recruitment, we've been running this piece of research now for a few years. So what we do is we surveyed over 2,000 Irish workers around this topic. And look, we see every day from a practical point of view when we're talking to employees that annual leave is really important to them, and they do give it careful consideration when they're weighing up potentially looking at a new role, but also people looking at their contracts as well. So yeah, there were some interesting insights that came out this year.
There certainly was indeed. And one of those findings, I suppose, was that 1 in 5 Kerry workers failed to use all of their annual leave last year. Was that a surprising stat to you, Lynn?
Well, actually, the people of Kerry seem to be better at using their annual leave, because what we actually seen was nationally 35% didn't make full use of their annual leave entitlements, but Kerry came in around the 17%. So it was quite interesting. And we did see some differences between urban and rural areas. But no, the people of Kerry definitely seem more inclined to use the annual leave.
Okay, well, that's interesting to hear. And Lynn, based on the findings of this survey then, when it came to maybe the genders, was there one gender maybe more inclined to use their annual leave compared to the other?
Yeah, we did see a comparison there. So when you broke it down, 41% of male respondents quoted not using their full holidays compared to 31% of females. So it's, you know, significant difference there of 10%. So the females are definitely more inclined to use their annual leave. But I suppose what was interesting was when we seen what people were using their annual leave for. So look, travel came up on top, as it does every year, international travel then domestic travel. But when you broke it down, we also seen people using their annual leave for other factors like caring of family members or personal commitments. And I suppose, look, it's really a balancing act for people. I think annual leave is really important to everyone to be able to rest, recharge, but people are also managing their wider responsibilities. So I'm not sure if that maybe had an impact in terms of the split between male and female and potentially what those responsibilities could be.
Okay, that's interesting. And it was something I was going to actually ask you about as well, as you mentioned there, that we're kind of seeing now that more workers are taking holidays or using more holiday days, maybe for the family reasons and the health reasons, as you mentioned. Is that something that we're seeing more of in more recent times that maybe we mightn't have seen maybe if you look back 10 years ago?
Yeah, like what we've seen is we did see a sharp rise in people taking annual leave for, say, personal commitments. Now, I don't know, potentially this could correlate. We have seen a bit of a shift of, look, we've seen so much remote working and hybrid working, particularly post-pandemic, but there has been a shift of back to office. So maybe people don't have that flexibility for appointments or different things that they could fit into their day if they weren't commuting. So more of that annual leave entitlement is getting soaked up into those type of commitments.
Okay, interesting. And are we still in times now, maybe, Lynn, where some employers might offer a payment in lieu of any unused annual leave days? Did that happen? I suppose it did crop up in the survey. Was it something that's still happening maybe in different workplaces?
It did, yeah. But it seems to be on a smaller scale in comparison to, I suppose, other work arrangements. Majority of people had the opportunity to carry over a certain percentage of annual leave. But one that came through, which definitely wouldn't be ideal, was they lost their annual leave if it wasn't taken. So, you know, that's definitely not the ideal scenario. I think, look, work-life balance and flexibility is really important to people, and being able to take that time away from work guilt-free to be able to come back rested is very important. So it was a shame to see that percentage there of people that if they didn't use their annual leave, they had lost it. But I suppose it's maybe as individually to be kind of, I suppose, more mindful of being able to use that annual leave in the calendar year.
Yeah, certainly. And you touched on it there, but it is important, I suppose, that people do take their annual leave, because I think we all need a break from time to time again. And you might come back, I suppose, that bit more refreshed, I suppose, and be able to work to maybe a better quality than you would have beforehand. So it's important that people have that time to themselves as well, where they can take that time to relax, maybe as well as for using it for those personal reasons, as you mentioned earlier. It's important, I suppose, to have a balance there, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head there in terms of, you know, being able to be rested and completely switch off from work. I know certain roles that might not be the easiest thing to do. I think often, you know, we can be guilty of checking that email or looking at the phone, but really, you know, you come back more productive, and you know, it's that time to switch off. And sometimes you can be a few days into the annual leave and into the holiday before that real switch off kicks in.
Yeah, certainly. That's a very good point. Another aspect I think that you looked at as well as part of this survey, Lynn, was in terms of a 4-day working week. What were the views of the employees regarding a 4-day working week?
Yeah, well, we definitely seen a demand for it. So like for the second year in a row, we found that the majority of people, just under 60%, would be in favour of a 4-day working week. And what was interesting was even if it meant adjusting their salaries. And, you know, it's not huge in Ireland. It's definitely more of a trend in some other countries internationally. But you can see there from that percentage, I suppose there's definitely an interest in it and a demand to look at those options. But it can come with challenges. So potentially challenging from an employer's perspective in terms of managing their business and tasks and workflows if people are working a 4-day week. But also for the individual as well. You know, I suppose you need to be careful in terms of that you're actually getting that time on that additional day to actually rest and recharge for the purpose of what it is, and not trying to fit more 5 days in the 4 days, and kind of defeats the purpose of getting the benefit of that time to rest.
It certainly does, and it leads me on to my next question actually, Lynn, because I was going to ask you, how would it work, I suppose, and what impact maybe would a 4-day working week have on the trends or the way that we work maybe at the moment?
I think it would really be case by case and depending on the job that you're in, the sector you're in, and the type of company. Like there are certain companies out there, and you've seen some case studies come through that they've implemented in their organization and it's worked really, really well. You know, feedback from the workers is really good. Productivity is up. But I think it's something that really needs to be well thought out and well managed, and get continuous feedback from, you know, from the workers that are taking up that opportunity. It could definitely come with challenges, but it also has its plus points as well. So I think it's definitely a case by case, job by job, and sector by sector type scenario.
Yeah, it certainly is. That's a very good point. Something then I think that we hear so much about when it comes to the working world, and I suppose the way that we work at the moment, as well as flexibility. And it seems that employers are looking for that flexibility now, no matter where they're working. Was that something that you looked at in this survey, or even around maybe leave policies that, you know, companies are working on? Was that something maybe that might have featured?
Well, what you could see through, I suppose, the common theme throughout the survey and all of the results is that people, I suppose, really want flexibility. There's a workforce that's eager for flexibility and new ways of organising their work. And that work-life balance is very, very important to them. Like a number of years ago, just to give an example on a practical point of view, if we were talking to a candidate about a new opportunity, they would say, is there flexibility? Now, when we're talking to candidates, there's an expectation there. The question is asked, what is the flexibility? So it's definitely top of people's minds when they're looking at new opportunities, new organizations, and, you know, new jobs for themselves. So I think that was the common theme that came through very strong throughout the report. And, you know, some of the working arrangements, it might not be a one size fits all, but there's definitely a real demand for flexibility in some shape or form.
And is it a case that employers are meeting that demand or meeting some of those expectations? I know it's impossible probably for them to meet all of them, but when it comes to flexibility, are employers maybe a little bit more open now than they would have been previously?
Yes, I think so, because we've all seen over the past few years how it can work and how it can work really well. And it's a really good opportunity for certain employers that have flexibility to attract employees to their organization, but also in terms of like positively impact and retention to, I suppose, keep their good workers within the organization. So we definitely have seen a shift towards that. But also on the other side, to look at it separately, there has been a bit more of a trend of moving away from hybrid work and people moving back to office. And look, I know each employer would have their own reasons and rationale to that, and I'm sure which is very valid, but you could be offsetting the other benefits and gains that you got from offering flexibility by moving back more into in-office. So I think from an employer's point of view, it's quite challenging. It's definitely a balancing act, and I think everyone is just adjusting now to the hybrid world and trying to make that work for their own organisation and their own workforce.
Yeah, they certainly are. Just before we finish up, Lynn, if anyone wants to find out more or to go through the results of the 2025 annual leave report, where can they find it?
They can find that on our website, which is frsrecruitment.com.
That's brilliant, Lynn. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me this evening. It's been lovely to have you on the show.
That's great, Amber. Thanks very much. Take care.